my daughter's dad's house burned down, not once, but twice. To this day, even though she has nothing, had nothing to do with it, her greatest fear is that she will leave a curling iron on and burn down the place. It's created a low-level OCD in her personality such that she can never leave the house just once. And there are regular text messages back to ask me to double-check that the curling iron's been unplugged. She's always on alert. I've never had to experience the total devastation of my entire community being engulfed in flames. And the surrealism that would come from having to fight fires or tend to those who have been hurt by them while grieving the loss of my own loved ones or my own home. I've never had to start all over again. Have you? Let's just take a minute to call to mind the victims of the California fires and those still living in the aftermath of this year's BC fires. The rescue workers, the first responders, the volunteers, the families, the seniors, the children, the pets. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Today's reading from Daniel and that of Mark are pieces of apocalyptic literature. This is not to be confused with the modern popularist evangelical Christianity that gave rise to the end time movies and literature depicted and maybe best depicted in movies like the Left Behind series or A Thief in the Night. Those are movies and books that depict the end times when the rapture happens. That end time event when the chosen rise up to heaven and join Christ. Apocalyptic literature, as we see it in these two biblical texts, is a genre of prophetic literature, a prophetic writing developed in post-exilic Jewish culture following the Babylonian exile and continuing up until almost the Middle Ages. And as much as this literature depicts the end time when nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, when there will be earthquakes in various places and famines, what this form of writing is really about is revealing something. Apocalypses, translated from its original Greek, actually means pulling back of the veil. It's about revealing something, showing a new reality, a new world. Daniel, like Joseph, is an interpreter of dreams. His book is a complex and challenging book of visions and dreams. And what he is seeing in this prophetic word is what is to come after the time of anguish, of destruction, chaos, and death. It's a vision of transformation and change. Those who have been asleep will awaken. Those who are wise shall shine. And the righteous will multiply. In Mark's gospel, too, there is a vision of tearing down and then building up. Keep in mind that when Jesus responds to his disciples marveling at the impressive largesse of these stone buildings, he says to them, not one of these stones will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down. he has already in chapter 12 denounced the builders of this mighty edifice for having built it on the sweat and exploitation of the widows and the poor. So when speaking about its destruction, the destruction of the center of religious life, indeed life as they know it, Jesus knows that the people most affected will be those who have built their power with every stone laid, and whose very privilege is invested in its existence. Jesus is calling for, revealing, not a tweaking of the system, but a complete transformation, a refining fire of sorts. The whole thing has to go because its very existence is corrupt, has no integrity, is morally bankrupt. Please let me be clear before moving on. I am in no way saying that God sent the fires to California any more than God sent the fires to British Columbia to do something. So, returning to Scripture, after the vision in Mark's gospel is a prophetic directive. Stay awake. Be alert. Jesus doesn't answer their question about when all of this will take place. He simply tells them to not be led astray in the meantime and to trust that God is on the move. God is doing a whole new thing, and to be ready for it. The sin of oppression and exploitation that built the temple is contextual, as is the sin of our day. Abuse of the widow, the orphan, the refugee, the immigrant, the LGBTQ2 person, the indigenous peoples of Turtle Island. But as much as these apocalyptic words from the prophet and from Jesus are warnings to those who do harm to the least of these, they are words of hope to those who have been oppressed. A disruption of the status quo might mean a collapse of the metaphoric or physical walls that have kept maybe differently abled people out of mainstream society, for example, or people of color out of seats of authority, gay, lesbian, or transgendered people excluded from health care, spiritual care, and. At a time when it seems every effort is being made to reverse the transformational apocalyptic progress we've made in this world, today's readings are, although terrifying, if our sense of self-worth and power depend on the existence of the structures and systems that have kept us comfortable at the expense of others, they are good news indeed for those who have been waiting for the veil to be parted and a new reality to be realized. The larger truth Jesus is calling his disciples to, and indeed us to, is to persevere, to trust that God can and is making something out of nothing. But the more we cling to what was, the harder it will be for us to see what can be. So let go. But stay awake. Be alert. God is on the move. Thanks be to God.